Chapter 132. Choice sight to see his great face looking in from time to time, among the silks and ribbons, with an obvious misgiving, that Florence had been spirited away by a back door. "Dear Captain Cuttle," apostrophe said Florence, when she came out with a parcel, the size of which greatly disappointed the captain, who had expected to see a porter following with a bale of goods, "I don't want this money, indeed. I have not spent any of it. I have money of my own." Apostrophe, my lady lass, apostrophe returned the baffled captain, looking straight down the street before them. "Take care on it for me, will you be so good, till such time as I ask ye for it? Apostrophe, apostrophe, may I put it back in its usual place?" Apostrophe said Florence, "and keep it there?" Apostrophe, apostrophe, the captain was not at all gratified by this proposal, but he answered, "Eh, eh, put it anywheres, my lady lass, so long as you know where to find it again." "It ain't oh no use to me," apostrophe said the captain. "I wonder I haven't chucked it away afore now." The captain was quite disheartened for the moment, but he revived at the first touch of Florence's arm, and they returned with the same precautions as they had come, the captain opening the door of the little midshipman's berth, and diving in, with a suddenness which his great practice only could have taught him. During Florence's slumber in the morning, he had engaged the daughter of an elderly lady who usually sat under a blue umbrella in the dental market, selling poultry, to come and put her room in order, and render her any little services she required. And this damsel now appearing, Florence found everything about her as convenient and orderly, if not as handsome, as in the terrible dream she had once called home. When they were alone again, the captain insisted on her eating a slice of dry toast, and drinking a glass of spiced negus which he made to perfection, and, encouraging her with every kind word and inconsequential quotation he could possibly think of, led her upstairs to her bedroom. But he too had something on his mind, and was not easy in his manner. "Good night, dear heart," apostrophe said Captain Cuttle to her at her chamber door. Florence raised her lips to his face, and kissed him. At any other time the captain would have been overbalanced by such a token of her affection and gratitude. But now, although he was very sensible of it, he looked in her face with even more uneasiness than he had testified before, and seemed unwilling to leave her. "Poor Waller!" apostrophe, apostrophe said the captain. "Poor, poor Walter!" apostrophe, apostrophe sighed Florence. "Drowned, ain't he?" apostrophe, apostrophe said the captain. Florence shook her head, and sighed. "Good night, my lady lass," apostrophe, apostrophe said Captain Cuttle, putting out his hand. "God bless you, dear, kind friend," apostrophe, apostrophe, but the captain lingered still. "Is anything the matter, dear Captain Cuttle?" apostrophe, apostrophe said Florence, easily alarmed in her then state of mind. "Have you anything to tell me?" apostrophe, apostrophe, "to tell you, lady lass," apostrophe, apostrophe replied the captain, meeting her eyes in confusion. "No, no, what should I have to tell you, pretty? You don't expect as I've got anything good to tell you, sure?" apostrophe, apostrophe, "no," apostrophe, apostrophe said Florence, shaking her head. The captain looked at her wistfully, and repeated "no," apostrophe, apostrophe still lingering, and still showing embarrassment. "Poor Waller!" apostrophe, apostrophe said the captain. "My Waller, as I used to call you. Old soul Gills Nevy. Welcome to all as knowed you, as the flowers in May. Where are you got to, brave boy? Drowned, ain't he?" apostrophe, concluding his apostrophe with this abrupt appeal to Florence, the captain bade her good night, and descended the stairs, while Florence remained at the top, holding the candle out to light him down. He was lost in the obscurity, and, judging from the sound of his receding footsteps, was in the act of turning into the little parlor, when his head and shoulders unexpectedly emerged again, as from the deep, apparently for no other purpose than to repeat, "Drowned, ain't he, pretty? Apostrophe apostrophe for when he had said that in a tone of tender condolence, he disappeared. Florence was very sorry that she should unwittingly, though naturally, have awakened these associations in the mind of her protector by taking refuge there, and sitting down before the little table where the captain had arranged the telescope and songbook and those other rarities, thought of Walter and of all that was connected with him in the past, until she could have almost wished to lie down on her bed and fade away. But in her lonely yearning to the dead whom she had loved, no thought of home, no possibility of going back, no presentation of it as yet existing, or as sheltering her father, once entered her thoughts. She had seen the murder done, and the last lingering natural aspect in which she had cherished him through so much, he had been torn out of her heart, defaced, and slain. The thought of it was so appalling to her, that she covered her eyes, and shrunk trembling from the least remembrance of the deed, or of the cruel hand that did it. If her fond heart could have held his image after that, it must have broken, but it could not, and the void was filled with a wild dread, that fled from all confronting with its shattered fragments with such a dread as could have risen out of nothing but the depths of such a love, so wronged. She dared not look into the glass, for the sight of the darkening mark upon her bosom made her afraid of herself, as if she bore about her something wicked. She covered it up, with a hasty, faltering hand, and in the dark, and laid her weary head down, weeping. The captain did not go to bed for a long time. He walked to and fro in the shop and in the little parlor for a full hour, and, appearing to have composed himself by that exercise, sat down with a grave and thoughtful face, and read out of a prayer book the forms of prayer appointed to be used at sea. These were not easily disposed of, the good captain being a mighty slow, gruff reader, and frequently stopping at a hard word, to give himself such encouragement as, "Now, my lad, with a will, apostrophe, or, steady, Edward Cuddle, steady," which had a great effect in helping him out of any difficulty. Moreover, his spectacles greatly interfered with his powers of vision. But notwithstanding these drawbacks, the captain, being heartily in earnest, read the service to the very last line, and with genuine feeling too, and approving of it very much when he had done, turned in, under the counter, but not before he had been upstairs, and listened at Florence's door, with a serene breast, and a most benevolent visage. The captain turned out several times, in the course of the night, to assure himself that his charge was resting quietly, and once, at daybreak, found that she was awake. For she called to know if it were he, on hearing footsteps near her door. "Yes, my lady lass," apostrophe replied the captain, in a growling whisper. "Are you all right, Dimond?" Apostrophe apostrophe, Florence thanked him, and said yes. Apostrophe, the captain could not lose so favorable an opportunity of applying his mouth to the keyhole, and calling through it, like a hoarse breeze, "Poor Waller! Drowned, ain't he?" Apostrophe after which he withdrew, and turning in again, slept till 7 o'clock. Nor was he free from his uneasy and embarrassed manner all that day, though Florence, being busy with her needle in the little parlor, was more calm and tranquil than she had been on the day preceding. Almost always when she raised her eyes from her work, she observed the captain looking at her and thoughtfully stroking his chin. And he so often hitched his armchair close to her, as if he were going to say something very confidential, and hitched it away again, as not being able to make up his mind how to begin, that in the course of the day he cruised completely round the parlor in that frail bark, and more than once went ashore against the wainscot or the closet door, in a very distressed condition. It was not until the twilight that Captain Cuddle, fairly dropping anchor, at last, by the side of Florence, began to talk at all connectedly. But when the light of the fire was shining on the walls and ceiling of the little room, and on the tea board and the cups and saucers that were ranged upon the table, and on her calm face turned towards the flame, and reflecting it in the tears that filled her eyes, the captain broke a long silence thus. You never was at sea, my own? Apostrophe apostrophe no, apostrophe replied Florence. A apostrophe said the captain, reverentially. It's a almighty element. There's wonders in the deep, my pretty. Think on it when the winds is roaring, and the waves is rowling. Think on it when the stormy nights is so pitch dark, apostrophe said the captain, solemnly holding up his hook, as you can't see your hand afore you, excepting when the wiwid lightning reveals the same, and when you drive through the storm and dark, as if you was a driving, head on, to the world without end, evermore, amen, and when found making a note of. Them's the times, my beauty, when a man may say to his messmate, previously a overhauling of the volume, a stiff nor'wester's blowing, Bill, hark, don't you hear it roar now? Lord help 'em, how I pity's all unhappy folks ashore now. Apostrophe which quotation, as particularly applicable to the terrors of the ocean, the captain delivered in a most impressive manner, concluding with a sonorous standby. Apostrophe apostrophe, were you ever in a dreadful storm? Apostrophe apostrophe asked Florence. Why, my lady lass, I've seen my share of bad weather, apostrophe said the captain, tremulously wiping his head, and I've had my share of knocking about, but it ain't of myself as I was a-meaning to speak. Our dear boy, apostrophe drawing closer to her, Waller, darling, as was drowned. Apostrophe, the captain spoke in such a trembling voice, and looked at Florence with a face so pale and agitated, that she clung to his hand in affright. Your face is changed, apostrophe cried Florence. You are altered in a moment. What is it? Dear Captain Cuttle, it turns me cold to see you. Apostrophe, what? Lady lass, apostrophe returned the captain, supporting her with his hand. Don't be took aback. No, no. All's well, my dear. As I was a-saying, Waller, he's drowned. Ain't he? Apostrophe, Florence looked at him intently. Her color came and went, and she laid her hand upon her breast. There's perils and dangers on the deep, my beauty, apostrophe said the captain. And over many a brave ship, and many a bold heart, the secret waters has closed up, and never told no tales. But there's escapes upon the deep too, and sometimes one man out of a score, maybe out of a hundred, pretty, has been saved by the mercy of God, and come home after being given over for dead, and told of all hands lost. I know a story, heart's delight, apostrophe stammered the captain, oh this matter, as was told to me once, and being on this here tack, and you and me sitting alone by the fire, maybe you'd like to hear me tell it. Would you, dearie? Apostrophe, Florence, trembling with an agitation which she could not control or understand, involuntarily followed his glance, which went behind her into the shop, where a lamp was burning. The instant that she turned her head, the captain sprung out of his chair, and interposed his hand. There's nothing there, my beauty, apostrophe said the captain. Don't look there. Apostrophe, why not? Apostrophe, apostrophe asked Florence. The captain murmured something about its being dull that way, and about the fire being cheerful. He drew the door ajar, which had been standing open until now, and resumed his seat. Florence followed him with her eyes, and looked intently in his face. The story was about a ship, my lady lass, apostrophe began the captain, a sailed out of the port of London, with a fair wind and in fair weather, bound for don't be took aback, my lady lass, she was only outward bound, pretty, only outward bound. Apostrophe apostrophe, the expression on Florence's face alarmed the captain, who was himself very hot and flurried, and showed scarcely less agitation than she did. Shall I go on, beauty? Apostrophe apostrophe said the captain. Yes, yes, pray. Apostrophe apostrophe cried Florence. The captain made a gulp, as if to get down something that was sticking in his throat, and nervously proceeded. That their unfortunate ship met with such foul weather, out at sea, as don't blow once in 20 year, my darling. There was hurricanes ashore as tore up forests and blowed down towns, and there was gales at sea in them latitudes, as not the stoutest vessel ever launched could live in. Day arter day, that their unfortunate ship behaved noble, I'm told, and did her duty brave, my pretty, but at one blow amidst her bulwarks was stove in, her masts and rudder carved away, her best man swept overboard, and she left to the mercy of the storm as had no mercy, but blowed harder and harder yet, while the waves dashed over her, and beat her in, and every time they come a-thundering at her, broke her like a shell. Every black spot in every mountain of water that rolled away was a bit o' the ship's life for a living man, and so she went to pieces, beauty, and no grass will never grow upon the graves of them as manned that ship. Apostrophe, they were not all lost. Apostrophe, apostrophe, cried Florence. Some were saved. Was one? Apostrophe, apostrophe, aboard, oh, that there unfortunate vessel, apostrophe, said the captain, rising from his chair, and clenching his hand with prodigious energy and exultation, was a lad, a gallant lad as I've heard tell that had loved, when he was a boy, to read and talk about brave actions in shipwrecks. I've heard him, and he remembered of them in his hour of need. For when the stoutest and oldest hands was hove down, he was firm and cheery. It warn't the want of objects to like and love ashore that gave him courage, it was his natural mind. I've seen it in his face, when he was no more than a child, many a time. And when I thought it nothing but his good looks, bless him. Apostrophe, apostrophe, and was he saved? Apostrophe, apostrophe, cried Florence. Was he saved? Apostrophe, that brave lad, apostrophe, said the captain, look at me, pretty. Don't look round, apostrophe, Florence had hardly power to repeat, why not? Apostrophe, apostrophe, because there's nothing there, my dearie, apostrophe, said the captain. Don't be took aback, pretty creature. Don't, for the sake of Waller, as was dear to all on us. That there lad, apostrophe, said the captain, arter working with the best, and standing by the faint-hearted, and never making no complaint nor sign of fear, and keeping up a spirit in all hands, that made him honor him, as if he'd been a admiral, that lad, along with the second mate and one seaman, was left, of all the beaten hearts, that went aboard that ship, the only living creatures lashed to a fragment of the wreck, and drifting on the stormy sea. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.